Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Aarti Industries Limited Q4 FY22 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone telephone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Nishid Solanki from CDR India. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Good evening, everyone, and thank you for joining us on Aarti Industries Q4 and FY22 earnings conference call. Today, we are joined by senior members of the management team, including Mr. Rajendra Gogri, Chairman and Managing Director, Mr. Rashesh Gogri, Vice Chairman and Managing Director, and Mr. Chetan Gandhi, Chief Financial Officer. We will commence the call with opening thoughts from Mr. Rajendra Gogri, who would take us through the performance, key milestones achieved, and outlook on the business. Post this, we shall open the forum for question and answer, where the management will be addressing to the queries of the participants. Just to share our standard disclaimer here, some statements that may be made in today's call may be forward-looking in nature, and the disclaimer to this effect has been included in the results presentation that has been shared earlier and also uploaded on stock exchange website. I would now invite Mr. Rajendra Gogri to share his perspectives. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Good evening, everyone, and welcome to our Q4 and FY22 earnings conference call. We have shared our results document, and I trust you had an opportunity to go through them. Financial year 2022 was highly unpredictable and challenging period for everyone. What started with a resurgent second wave of COVID-19 pandemic turned into a significant inflationary surge in input crisis and then the Russia-Ukraine conflict, which disrupted the global supply chain and resulted in elevated price of crude oil and other petrochemical intermediates and other fuels such as coal, et cetera. Given this backdrop, I am elated to share that we demonstrated agility and navigated through this pressure to deliver robust financial performance during the period under review. We scaled new peaks backed by our high-quality business enterprise that has been built over several decades with solid execution capability. Let me share some of the key numbers for FY22. Our revenue increased by 58% to rupees 7,919 crore, while EBITDA came in at rupees 1,930 crore, higher by 96%. Profit after tax stood at rupees 1,307 crore, higher by 144% over last year. FY22 financial include an impact of termination fee received with respect to the first long-term contract to the tune of rupees 631 crore. Excluding termination fee, our annual revenues were at rupees 7,288 crore, while EBITDA was at rupees 1,320 crore. We achieved this highest ever EBITDA in the company's history in FY22, even after netting off the impact from termination income. Normalizing the termination income for FY22, the EBITDA growth for FY22 was about 35% over FY21. In Q4 FY22, we registered 50% gains in revenue to rupees 2,018 crore, driven by better realization trends owing to our ability to pass on sharp spikes in raw material costs and other utilities. This was supported by healthy volume uptake during the quarter, led by continued demand outlook for our products in the key end user industries. EBITDA enhanced by 30% to rupees 339 crore, while EBITDA margin stood at 16.8%. Having said that, we were able to maintain the absolute delta margin despite cost pressure in the system. Further normalizing the impact of the shortfall fee of rupees 37 crore for Q4 FY21, we recorded about 52% YOY growth in EBITDA for Q4 FY22. When compared with Q3 FY22, which included the shortfall fees of rupees 47 crore, the QOQ EBITDA growth net of termination income and shortfall fee was about 11% for Q4 FY22. The commissioning of a few projects resulted in increase in depreciation and fixed overheads during Q4 FY22. Our profit after tax enhanced by 39% to rupees 194 crore in line with operational performance. Premised on healthy performance during the year, the board of directors approved a final dividend of rupees 1.5 per share of FY22. This is in addition to an interim dividend of rupees 2 per share distributed during the year. With this, the total dividend in FY22 stands at rupees 3.5 per share. That is 70% of the face value. During Q4 FY22, we witnessed significant volatility in the prices of key inputs, largely due to various issues, including the one pertaining to the Russia-Ukraine conflict. We wish to clarify that while we don't have any significant business in the region and see no significant impact of the same in our business. Moving to the segmental performance overview, revenue from specialty chemical business in Q4 FY22 increased by 49% to rupees 1,629 crore, while EBIT expanded by 19% to rupees 246 crore. However, as I highlighted, we were able to pass on this variation to our customer in a structured manner. More importantly, our ability to suitably optimize the product mix helped sustain the overall volumes. Having said that, we are closely monitoring this development and will take appropriate steps as and when required. I now share the production details for Q4 FY22. Production of nitrochlorobenzene was about 19,551 metric ton compared to 19,100 metric ton in the corresponding period of last year, and close to 18,504 metric ton for Q3 FY22. Likewise, for hydrogenated products, we attained a production run rate of 3,029 metric ton compared to 1,935 metric ton last year and 2,878 metric ton in Q3 for FY22. For nitrotoluene, the production for Q4 FY22 stood at 5,155 ton compared to 2,935 ton in Q4 of last year and 3,633 metric ton in Q3 FY22. The quarter went by some, saw some production and revenue impact due to supply shortage of key raw material nitric acid, as indicated in the previous call. We have been closely working with the supplier to minimize the impact and optimize the product mix to protect the profitability. We continue to be engaged with the supplier to find alternatives to improve the situation, which has a significant bearing on our performance. Turning your attention to projects commissioned during the quarter, we began commercial manufacturing in respect of the project related to second long-term contract in Q4 FY22. This will add incremental revenues to the tune of over rupees 500 crore by end of FY23. Other major projects such as project linked to the third long-term contract at Jhagadia, the NCB capacity expansion at Vapi, etc., are expected to come on stream in FY23 and will see ramp up over FY23 and FY24. Further, with respect to the unit, with respect to the first long-term contract, we have seen some volumes in FY22 and expect a progressive ramp up of the same over next 2 years, targeting the utilization to be about 70%-80% by FY24. I believe that we are well poised to capture incremental market opportunity in the specialty chemical space based on our leadership position and expertise in chosen chemistry. This including healthy demand in both the domestic and export markets, combined with capacity expansion initiative, will elevate our performance momentum in the continuing years. Now shifting your focus to the pharma business, we reported 52% revenue growth to rupees 388 crore in Q4 of FY22. EBIT came in at rupees 67 crore, higher by 30% YOY. In line with the overall operations, we were able to pass on part of the spike in raw material costs and other utilities in this segment as well, resulting in better realization. We demonstrate strong volume growth backed by continued positive demand landscape and higher offtake from generic pharma companies and Zensar businesses. Business visibility continues to be high, and we are very well placed to realize the growth potential in this segment based on our strong product lineup, timely introduction of newer products, and attractive pipeline of approvals in cardiovascular, antihypertensive, oncology, and corticosteroids. With respect to expansion of the new block at the U.S. FDA-approved API facility at Tarapur, we are in the final stage of commissioning and expect this to be commercialized in the current year, Q1 of FY23. Moving on, as you are aware, we had witnessed significant inflationary trends in the input costs, logistics costs, fuel costs, commodity price, etc., over FY22. For instance, for various key raw material inputs, the price has gone by about 50%-100%. It must be noted that while a significant part of this price increase is passed on to the customer, there is a working capital cycle gap for some same to be get converted into cash, which enhances the company's resources getting deployed in working capital. We are closely examining the same and taking efforts where possible to reduce it. Overall, we entailed a CapEx of over rupees 1,300 crore in FY22, with about rupees 360 crore spent in Q4 FY22. This was in line with our planned CapEx outlay for the year. As you are aware, over the years, we had invested into various projects, of which few had been commercialized during the last 12-15 months. The ramp-up of these projects had been impacted due to the challenges faced due to the pandemic, availability of key raw material, and also partly due to the cancellation of the long-term contract. We are now witnessing a good ramp-up of this capacity and expect most of this to see its capacity reach about 70%-90% utilization by FY24. Going forward, we remain committed to investing rupees 3,000 crore plus by FY24 to achieve our growth aspirations. Our focus will be to undertake R&D and innovation-led projects where we have 40+ products for specialty chemical and 50+ products for pharma in the pipeline. This will lend visibility and help achieve our growth guidance for FY27, as shared earlier. To manage and execute this, we have also onboarded close to 1,500 personnel in FY22 across various functions. Before I conclude, let me share a couple of important developments. As you are aware that we have been witnessing shortages at multiple times for availability of one of the key raw material concentrated nitric acid. This had a significant impact on our operations. In order to mitigate this risk, we propose to set up a backward integrated unit for concentrating nitric acid from dilute nitric acid with a capacity of about 225 to 250 TPD to partially meet our requirement. The feedstock for this is expected to be sourced from India or from global market. We are tied up with a technology partner for the same and expect the facility to be commercialized by end of FY24. This will assist in easing of our challenges with reference to the sourcing of nitric acid in future. During FY22, Aarti Industries was awarded the prestigious Responsible Care status by Indian Chemical Council. Responsible Care is a global initiative to drive continuous improvement in safe chemical management and achieve excellence in environmental health, safety and security performance. Further, with reference to our ongoing process for demerger of pharma business into Aarti Pharma Labs Limited, we wish to appraise that the NCLT Ahmedabad has scheduled the hearing on our application in June 2022. We are hopeful to get favorable approval from NCLT in the aforesaid meeting. Subsequently, it would take 2 to 3 months for completing the formalities related to demerger, allotment of new shares by Aarti Pharma Labs Limited and listing of those in the respective exchanges. As you are aware, India is at a very sweet spot and the road ahead appears encouraging. We are excited to lead India in its aspiration of becoming a preferred partner for global chemical measures. Our focus on value addition and product expansion will steer the momentum in the ensuing years. This will further cement our leadership position while enhancing value for all the stakeholders. With these rationales and the stronger visibility available, we are better placed to meet the guidance for FY24 and FY27 as shared last year. Let's conclude my initial thoughts and we'll now request the moderator to open the floor for the Q&A session. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may enter star and one on their touchtone telephone. If your questions have been answered and you wish to withdraw yourself from the queue, you may enter star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. We have the first question from the line of Umesh Patel from Reliance Nippon Life. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity. Congratulations, Rajendra Bhai, for reporting good numbers. Couple of questions. As you mentioned about backward integration, I just need to understand that 250 TBD that you mentioned, that translate into 60,000 metric ton per annum for nitric acid. What would be the capex that will be incurred?
Hello.
Yeah.
Hello. Hello. Yeah. This will be basically a concentration plan from weak nitric acid to concentrated nitric acid. And we are overall, you know, evaluating the entire nitric acid scenario. And I think by Q1, you know, we'll be able to guide on the capex front on this. But it'll be more, you know, around this plant itself cost may be around 150 to 200 crore range.
Sure. So that will take care of the entire requirement of your nitric acid, or it could be something like 50 to 60% of your requirement?
No, actually, this will be more of a balancing, you know, where we cannot get nitric acid from the market. We can buy weak nitric acid and concentrate it to concentrate nitric acid. And this weak nitric acid also can be imported from outside India, whereas concentrated nitric acid cannot be imported into India. So that was one of the reasons, you know, why we are putting up this facility. So that even the weak nitric acid importing and then converting to the concentrated nitric acid will become feasible.
Sure. And the second question was related to your pharma segment that you mentioned about, you know, API facility that will, you know, get the approval from US FDA and that is in the final stage. I just need to understand what would the revenue potential of this facility, and what would be the EBITDA margin that will contribute to your company?
Yeah, so the new facility is going to come on stream from the current quarter, later, and it is going to add initially, it will be a ramp up in next 3 years that we will be able to utilize the total potential, and total revenue potential is $25 to $30 million in this new site, and EBITDA margin will be in line with our current EBITDA margin of 17 to 20%.
Sure. And the last question is related to, the recent, if you look at, the China recently, if I recollect properly, in 2019, when there was an issue in China, it helped us in, reporting very good set of numbers and in terms of, profitability. So again, in this quarter also, April to June, there was a supply disruption and China lockdown that has happened. So definitely, do we expect that again the similar kind of situation will arise for Aarti industry, being, market leader in most of the, toluene based as well as nitrogen based derivative products?
No, currently we are not seeing any significant impact of this Chinese lockdown. Actually, material going into China is a bigger problem than material coming out of China in general.
Okay, thank you. That's all from my side.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Surya from Philip Capital. Please go ahead.
Congratulations on the good set of numbers. So particularly on the margin front, what I see that, if adjusted for the termination fees, compensation what we had received in the corresponding previous quarter, I think our margin almost remains flat, despite also this elevated cost in terms of logistics, utilities, and all that. So I believe the portion of the elevated RM cost is possible, but may not be the case for utilities and all. So if you can talk something on that, how did you manage that margin remaining same, or what has contributed incrementally otherwise?
Yeah, generally logistic cost gets transferred because the ocean freight has increased so much, it becomes difficult for us to bear the ocean freight chain.
Utility mainly, sir?
Utility sometimes, becomes difficult, but I think utility was already high. So on a QOQ basis, there is not much change in utility cost.
Okay. So now, sir, having seen whatever kind of cost situation now, and it seems that situation is the elevated cost situation is likely to prevail mostly possibly entire of this year, FY23. So given that, could you give some sense on your cost line item, sir? So because you are also indicating that you have added some 1,500 odd people in FY22. Possibly throughout the year that you would have added. So the incremental cost will be added because of that. So what is the kind of change that we should be seeing in terms of the cost with it? Can we maintain or see some improvement in the gross margin front, having seen the peak RM cost scenario currently? So some sense for FY23 will give a much clearer picture.
Yeah, actually this number of people which has been added is also for, whatever was commissioned in the second contract, as well as some of the people have been onboarded for, startup of this third contract and some of the other projects, which are going to get lined up. So they'll be utilized mainly for the newer facility. And I think corresponding expenses will be absorbed in volumes generated out of it.
Okay. So, obviously you do not guide on the margin front, sir, but given the kind of absolute cost expansion what is visible, so do you think your absolute EBITDA growth will be in line with the earlier guided trend?
Yeah, overall, because correspondingly there will be a volume increase also. So at the EBITDA level, feel that whatever the guidance which we have given on FY 2024, we should be able to reach those levels in next 2 years.
Okay. Sir, in terms of the people, so now with this 1,500 addition, what it becomes total?
Check the total. Maybe combine both the segment, it will be around 9,000.
Yeah, it will be roughly around 8, 8,500 employee workforce.
Okay. And about the second contract that you have commissioned, so given the challenging situation that is prevailing, so do you think it would be a kind of very staggered one than the earlier expectation? So versus the 500 crore kind of run rate, so are we going to start the year with, let's say, 50% utilization of that offtake program, or some sense will be useful, sir?
No, it will be very at a high level of percentage utilization from the first year itself, the way the contract has been structured. So there will be a significant high percentage utilization.
So since it is the plastic-oriented, sir, so don't you think, given the weakness that is visible in the global economy's progress, so there would be a kind of moderation in the volume expectations out of that project also?
No, overall, the way we have that contract structure, we don't see much issues there.
Okay. Okay. Sure, sir. I'll be there in the queue. Thank you. Wish you all the best.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, to ask a question, you may enter star and one. We have the next question from the line of Aditya Khetan from SMIFS Limited. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity. So my first question is on the API capacity expansion. If you can highlight the absolute capacity figure first in liters and how much in terms of percentage also, if the capacity is increased, so how much would be that in terms of percentage increase?
The API capacity, basically, we are putting a high-volume line, and the products which we will be manufacturing, there will be $200-$500 a kg product. So what we are doing is from the current line, we are moving the high-volume products to the dedicated lines. So we will have very high occupancy overall because of that, because we already are having significant occupancy of these in our current multipurpose line. So we have now graduated to a level where the products will shift to dedicated lines.
Okay. So this figure of $200-$500 per kilo, so this would be done from the existing, so from the increased capacity?
Existing. Existing and mix of existing products and mix of new products. So basically, largely, the volume will be filled by existing products and one or two high-volume new products for which we have already done the validation and other things. So the products are now getting launched or mature.
Okay. Okay. Sir, the second question is from the raw material part. Sir, what we are witnessing that in China, so there are some of the raw materials which are imported from China, so there is a disconnect in domestic prices and China prices. Because of this, so we are witnessing that imports have started to increase, and China is offering at a much lower price as compared to the domestic players. So because of this lockdown and all, so there's a disconnect in many of the raw material prices. So are you witnessing for the next quarter, there could be some sort of impact from this China shift if suppose they are offering at a lower price, so volumes can be shifted towards China?
So this you are asking pertaining to pharma or chemical or both?
Sir, for chemical specifically.
No, chemical basically, as such, we are totally backward integrated, and we don't see any movement, any shifting towards China for our product line.
But in terms of pricing, so there is a disconnect, sir, maintained. So for the raw materials, is this data point correct, sir?
No, it may be for some specific products, but overall, we are not seeing any significant impact.
Okay. On the revenue part, so for this fiscal, we have clocked roughly 42% revenue growth. This is excluding the termination income. So how much of this would be from the volume and realization? Just a ballpark figure would do, sir.
Ethan, you will be able to guide on this.
Yeah, so the volume growth would be in the range of around 12 to 14% kind of stuff.
Okay, so 10 to 12% would be from the volume. So, sir, my next question, so when we look at this revenue growth, so majority of the part is from the realization only. So, sir, so for the last 2 years, we had done capex of roughly 3,000 to 4,000 crore. I think, sir, that number has not flown into our financials yet, considering we are only clocking 10% volume growth in this year also. So, in terms of numbers...
Sorry, you're talking in terms of the annual volume growth or what?
Annual volume growth only, sir. Means for the
that,
last
would be, that would be in the range of 18 to 20 plus percent.
Okay. 18 to 20% is the volume growth for FY22.
Okay. Yeah. And your question on volume growth, you know, the first contract, because it got cancelled, we already got the assets online. And those assets, we have just started the production in that plant. And as I mentioned in our speech, you know, by FY24, we'll have 70 to 80% capacity utilization for that product. And actually, that's a value-added product of four steps. The corresponding backward impact of the entire value chain volumes will come in. And the second contract has been commissioned in Q4. So that volume will come in. And this year, you know, partly nitric acid also had impacted. So with the, once the nitric acid stabilizes, we expect, you know, that 70 to 90% capacity utilization by FY24 for most of our plants.
Okay, got it. So the nitric acid part only. So when I was looking at your number for the for the last 7-8 years, so nitric acid contribution in the overall raw materials is only about 7 to 8%. So considering if there is a shortage also, so does it impact us much on the onto the cost front? Like that, I wanted to know.
Yeah, because nitric acid is a key raw material. So price is a one factor, the availability is a bigger factor. So if you have a less material available, but overall we see that nitric acid situation will improve, because in second half of this year some new nitric acid capacity will come up in India. So we feel that, you know, availability front should ease out in FY23.
Okay. So just one last question from my side, sir. Onto this 2,500 to around 3,000 crore of capex for the specialty chemicals which we are doing from FY22 to FY24. If you can give some rough breakup on this, sir, of 3,000 crore revenue break of capex onto the specialty chemicals.
No, the existing activity and our running contracts, you know, what we had guided was, you know, around 1,500 crore, and the rest will come up for the new product, which the sales will start coming, you know, more in FY25 onwards. There will be a multi-purpose plan
which we had planned. So the 3,000 crore of capex for specialty chemicals. So I believe so one part is for the chlorotoluene, and second is for the so universal multi-purpose plant.
Yeah.
So which are the
and some of the existing product downstream also will be expanding capacities in addition to the entire new range of products.
In terms of number, if you can give it, sir,
I think that we'll have to work out and then come out in maybe next few quarters, the detailed breakup of this capex.
Got it, sir. Thank you, sir. That's all, sir.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Ritesh Gupta from Morgan Stanley. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi sir, thanks for taking my questions. Sir, I just wanted to understand a couple of things. So if you look at the last two quarters commentary, you talked about nitric acid challenges and logistics costs, etc., had also gone up. Going forward, the challenge also lies in terms of probably the US recession, etc. So I just wanted to sense that if I sum up all the one-offs in the last 6 months, and then I see the headwinds in the next 6 months, what looks better? I mean, the kind of margin pressure you saw in the last 6 months, or probably next 6 months again, energy costs, etc., have also been higher, or probably in the running quarter, energy costs, etc., are also on the higher side. So should we see, what I mean to ask is that from second half, as we go to the first half this year, should we see momentum improving, or should we see, you know, similar sort of challenges sustaining in the first half?
Yeah, basically, overall, you know, the discretionary side demand has some impact. But we are able to rearrange our product mix, and agrochemical side demand is quite strong. I think because agri commodity prices are also strong. So overall, you know, we see as far as volume possibility, there should not be much issue. And nitric acid may still, you know, this year at least first half may still remain challenging, you know, maybe second half the capacity in India will increase. This will stabilize the availability.
Got it, sir. And sir, if I just extrapolate your guidance of EBITDA doubling over 21 and 24, are you looking at a 20% growth over the next 2 years in terms of EBITDA? So, is it something that, and given that, even when I look at your FY22 commentary, you again said that there are issues and then lack of operating leverage, you know, higher fuel and power costs and, you know, logistic costs, etc. as well. So, do you think that there could be a potential upgrade to the 24 numbers? I mean, or is it that you want to, I mean, conservatively stick to it, or is there some sort of upside which is there, which, let's say, by FY21, all your buyer contracts and, I mean, contract one, contract two, contract three, all start operating, and plus some of the capacity expansions that you've seen and the kind of discretionary demand issues that you've seen in the last year normalize? Or is there something else which I need to keep in mind when I see your guidance of doubling of the EBITDA up to 24?
Yeah, I think more or less we can still maintain the same guidance. Overall, I think 1.7 to 2 times what we have guided for FY24. Broadly, you know, I think those are the kind of number we should be able to hit.
No, so the question is that when I look at the lower end of the guidance, when I look at 1.7 number, you already moved to 1.34 this year. So,
right.
So when I look at the lower end of it, you're talking about a 35% improvement on a base of 135. So you're talking about, let's say, a total of 25%, 27% EBITDA growth over the next 2 years combined.
Yeah, but the first this year, you know, there was a 138 crore shortfall fee, which is part of the EBITDA of this year.
Right. Oh, yeah.
So that gets knocked off. In FY23 and FY24.
Okay. Thank you. That's it. That's all of it.
Yeah.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Abhijit Akela from Kotak Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Good evening and thank you so much. Sir, for FY22, you know, you had guided to 25 to 35% growth. And of course, you've, you know, exceeded those numbers. Is there a rough number you could sort of guide us to for FY23 as well on revenue and EBITDA growth?
No, overall, as I just mentioned, you know, that this FY22, we had about 138 crore as a shortfall fee for our first contract, which was mainly accounted in top first three quarter. So, which will not be available going forward in the next year. It will be a volume ramp up for a lot of projects. So this will be more of a consolidation, and we see a high single digit growth in EBITDA or, you know, FY23.
High single digit growth in EBITDA, and on revenue, should we expect a similar kind of growth rate as well, high single digits? Or?
Revenue growth may be higher because that shortfall fee was without any revenue. Revenue growth will be more.
Understood. Yeah, that's helpful. And just on the situation in the export markets, particularly Europe, where, I mean, there has been talk of, significant impact to the economy because of gas costs and everything. If you could, please just help us understand what the situation is like there in terms of our key customers or end-use industries and, whether you're seeing any softness and if so, I mean, does that impact business in the year ahead?
Actually, because we make the value-added intermediates and then subsequent value addition, whatever is done in the requirement of energy in that value addition will be limited. Actually, energy requirement in our range of product is more. We see that in some of the products where we compete with Europeans, there may be some issues. Whereas our customer side, we don't see much issue on the demand front.
Okay, understood.
And the European companies are making, most of our customers, they make the product for global market. It's not for a European market. The way chemical industry is structured, we may supply something to North America, Europe, but the product what they make there, that is for a global market.
I see. And one last thing from my side, sir, just on the nitric acid project. So if you could please just share some information about, what our total requirement is on an annual basis and how much of that will be catered to by this expansion that is coming.
Yeah, this will be more of a backup kind of an arrangement. If CNA is not available, we can import rich nitric acid from overseas also and convert it into concentrated nitric acid. So this will be more of a kind of, as a backup arrangement. We are yet to work out the overall comprehensive nitric strategy. That is in still in our development, what should be our long-term strategy on nitric acid.
Okay, I understand. Thank you so much, sir. All the best.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Rohit Sinha from Sunidhi Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for taking my question, sir.
Mr. Sinha, your audio is unclear, sir.
Hello?
Yes, please.
Yeah, is it okay now?
Yes, please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for taking my question, sir. Just wanted to understand on this employee cost, as you have mentioned that you added 1,500 employees. So, probably I think it has been added in the second half of FY22. And since Q second contract was executed, so most of that was maybe dedicated to that side. So just wanted to understand at which level these this large number is being employed, and probably with the third contract coming up, and obviously other projects are commissioning. So do we see another addition on these numbers?
Yeah, this number 1500 was for throughout the year for the projects which were commissioned, and also the project which are going to get commissioned over this third contract and some other intermediates plant which will be mostly commissioned in the first half of FY23. So we have already onboarded, the people for, the plant which are going to be commissioned mainly in this first half of FY23. You see, overall now there is a talent pool in the chemical market because a lot of investments are coming up by a lot of companies. And one of the key challenges going forward will be how do you manage the talent. So that's why we we like to have some cushion in the talent and also do a continuous internal training to upgrade the people, because as we are coming up with a very large expansion, it is very important that human resources are properly taken care of.
Before we move to the next question, we would like to remind participants to ask a question. You may enter star and one. We have the next question from the line of Archit Joshi from Dolat Capital. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity, sir, and congrats on a good set of numbers. Sir, from the presentation and from your introductory remarks, you had mentioned that there are about 40-odd products in the specialty chemicals division that we are targeting to introduce. So just would like to understand if there is any particular chemistry that we are focusing on, or if you can just throw some light on what kind of products will these be that might be coming in the next 2 to 3 years. Will it be application specific or chemistry specific? And, you know, if you can also mention the rationale as to why we are introducing them.
Yeah, basically one big range will be entire chlorotoluene range, you know, and the chemistry what will come is first will be our what we call a ring chlorination, which is a different than the what GHCL has announced. They have announced which is called side chain chlorination. So first will be a ring chlorination, which is similar to what we do for benzene. And there will be a new chemistry. First time will be, you know, photochlorination, then chlorination using anhydrous hydrofluoric acid, then amoxidation, Grignard reaction, bromination. So these are the kind of chemistry which will be there. And this is again is an integrated chain. And most of the product in this will be going in mainly in pharma, agro, and dyes and pigments. That will be the major outlet for this product range. And the main drivers here is, again, you know, there will be the import substitution, as well as, you know, customers wanted to, you know, shift global customer, wanting to shift some of the demand from China to India. So that is a major driver in this entire new chain.
Understood, sir. Sir, just out of curiosity, in the earlier chemistry that you were into, we had, you know, a sort of a dynamic model that we had adopted, you know, from ammonolysis for nitration or chlorination. And this is a completely different basket of chemistries that you are speaking about right now. So how different would it be from our existing business model of, you know, manufacturing those five chemistries in which we were in top three, maybe top four globally? How will we be placing ourselves? Would this be again through, you know, having dedicated plants for certain chemistries? Because you're also speaking about setting up a universal multipurpose plant. And these chemistries are completely new to what we were doing compared to in our existing business model. So if you can also share some of your thoughts.
Yes, you know, photochlorination or what we call it will be single chemistry, multi-product plant, you know. So we'll be running on campaign different photochlorination products or anhydrous hydrofluoric HF chlorination. This will be dedicated chemistry with multi-product line. Amoxidation will be also again a totally dedicated multi. So there will have a dedicated chemistry, multi-product. And there will be a, this multi-purpose, you know, where we'll be able to do multi-chemistries, you know, where we can do Grignard and all other brominations and all those chemistry, where, you know, more advanced chemistry generally typically are then done in multi-purpose plant. So we also have those kind of complex chemistry in our existing business, but they are like diazotization and all, but there most of our plant up till now were dedicated to do those chemistries. And now, you know, we'll have a more of a additional multi-purpose kind of a facility on ground.
Got it, sir. That was helpful. So just one last question. I think in some of the previous calls you had already mentioned about the kind of market from the import substitution angle for chlorotoluenes. And if you can similarly also speak about this new chain that we are targeting in photochlorination, what kind of applications and what can be the what kind of size we might be targeting, and if you can just speak also on the competitive analysis of this one. Thank you.
No, this photochlorination is part of chlorotoluene chain itself. So basically, will be this orthochlorotoluene and parachlorotoluene photochlorination done. But there, you know, we can also do direct toluene photochlorination, which is also being done by Lanxess and which GHCL also is planning to do. So those kind of products also can be done, because this will be a and dedicated to the chemistry where we can move the product around.
Understood, sir. So this being a part of chlorotoluene itself, would there be any difference on the chemistry side, or this is just like a whole you can say, so photochlorination, so simply speaking, would photochlorination be a subset of chlorotoluene?
No. You see, like PNCB or other things, our nitrochlorobenzene and all, we do first chemistry, then some product will go to the second, third, fourth, fifth chemistry.
Understood.
So the photochlorination is the second chemistry after ring chlorination.
Okay, so basically this will be quite similar to our existing model, from...
It's a very existing, very similar. I think that is a very, very robust model what we see, because that we have done for 2 benzene and 1 nitrotoluene, I think.
Got it, sir. Thank you a lot, sir. Thank you. That's it from our side.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Rohit Sinha from Sunidhi Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for taking my question again, sir. Sorry, my line got disconnected last time. Just on the, as we were talking about this employee thing, I was also looking at this thing that the competition right now in this chemical segment has quite intensified. And the talent hand and retaining the talent has been a challenge as of now. And maybe going forward, it will be more like that. So that is where I think, I don't know whether you have commented on that part or not, since my line got disconnected. So if you can touch upon that part also.
Yeah, the same thing I was mentioning, that overall, because a lot of investments are coming in chemical and specialty chemicals, and there is obviously a talent shortage which is expected going forward. So our idea will be always to be one up on our manpower requirement, and also do a lot of internal training, because howsoever you may do, there will be some turnover which may happen. So we have a dual strategy. One is to have a keep robust internal pipeline ready, and also try to proactive in filling the requirement at least 5-6 months in advance.
Okay. And secondly, on the R&D side, how much has been our total spend for the segment in FY22, and how we are basically planning with this R&D thing going forward with a lot of new chemistries we are coming up. So just kind of investment would be a bit on the higher side on this R&D side, or it would be in line with what we have been there, and if there at all we have also onboarded some of the maybe scientists or research personnel.
Yeah, we have already also onboarded a lot of people in R&D also. The R&D spend will be around 60 to 80 crore range, and may go further ramped up little bit in next 1 or 2 years.
Okay. Thank you, sir. That's it from my side.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Rohit Nagraj from MK Global. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity and congrats on good set of numbers. So first question is, we have completed 2 months of current quarter. So from the demand side or from the logistics and the war issues, have we faced any challenges in terms of deferment of orders or any cancellation of orders? Thank you.
Yeah, we missed the word. You are talking about Russia-Ukraine war?
Right. That is one part, plus the logistic challenges and the increase in, raw material, because benzene, crude has gone up, and subsequently benzene toluene has also gone up.
No, overall, these are not impacted much in demand side. As such, because the finished product, the impact of our increase in this cost in the finished product is not very high.
But some in general, overall inflation increasing, seeing some pushback in demand on dyes and pigment side. In general, that is for the broader inflation, you know, which is kind of a, some of the discretionary spend. We are seeing that some pushback coming in. But agro side is more robust for us, and then we are continuously trying to, you know, reshuffle our product mix. As well as the geographical mix, you know, to have a high capacity utilization.
All right, right. So second question is, for the second long-term contract, I understand that we were supposed to get the capex upfront from the customer, I think close to about 450 crores. So we have commissioned the project last quarter. So have we received that particular amount, which will probably get adjusted in incremental invoices?
Yeah, I think we have received almost 80% plus.
Okay, fair. And you also mentioned that we have added a significant amount of employees during last year. So Q4 is the base employee cost run rate that will continue, given that incremental additions will be relatively limited as we have sufficient bench probably created.
No, because Q4, some of the employees for contract 3 and all, the cost will right now will go in at your capital WIP. So, employee cost will increase in next year, but substantial portion has come as a revenue expenditure in Q4.
Right, sir. And just one last clarification on the guidance of high teens EBITDA increase. So does this, on a basis of FY22 base of organic EBITDA, excluding the 138 crores fee plus the 610 crores termination fee?
No, the termination fee is obviously excluded. But the 138 crore shortfall fee will be considered as a part of that FY22.
Okay, and on that high single digit is what we are.
Yes, that is what we are looking at. Yes.
Thank you so much for all the clarification and best of luck, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Siddharth Gadekar from Equirus. Please go ahead.
So I just had one first question was pertaining to the capacity utilization. Now, if we look at your gross block over FY19 to FY22, we have added roughly 3,000 crores of gross block, out of which I think 500 crores would be for that bare contract which got terminated. So over FY19 to FY22, how has our capacity utilization gone?
Yeah, it will be product to product. Like, nitrotoluene, we have reached almost 80% capacity in Q4. So, individual process block-wise, the capacity utilization will be different. So, that's what we are saying. By FY24, virtually all the blocks will reach 70% to 90% of capacity.
What is capitalized till FY22? Is that understanding right?
No, what will be capitalized in FY23 also.
Okay, so by FY24, we will be in the range of 70 to 80% capacity utilization.
Yes.
Okay, so and secondly, in terms of volume growth over FY19 to FY22, how has our volume grown? A ballpark number also would do?
We'll have to work on that. It will not be very simple to give that number right now.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Ranjit from IIFL Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, sir. Thanks for this opportunity. The first thing, you have said a different chemistry reaction that you intend to take in future. Would you able to give some idea on the realization, maybe a ballpark or an EBITDA on a ballpark thing? The idea is to understand whether these are going to be structurally different from what we have been doing till now. Thank you.
Yeah, basically this will be more value-added products. EBITDA to sales, definitely at the constant raw material prices will be higher in this range of products, because the value-added composition will be significantly higher in that. And being a more advanced chemistry, also tend to give a higher EBITDA to asset.
Just to put the number to it, would it be safe to assume that it would be at least 30-40% higher than what we are doing currently?
Yeah. So generally, you know, if it is 20%, then it can, at the similar level, this will become more towards 25, the incremental, this kind of range of products.
We move to the next question. Mr. Narayan?
Yes. Mr. Bogi, on to the new chemistry, could you please tell us what are the user industries involved? Which kind of sectors would you be addressing?
Yeah, it will be basically mainly in pharma, agro, and dyes and pigments. Pharma and agro will be more or less maybe 70-80%, and maybe 20% will be other sectors.
All right. And these would be growing volume?
Oh, yeah. The molecules which are there in this, both for pharma and agro, pharma will lead to a lot of import substitution, and agro molecules are growing molecules.
Very, very good. Thank you very much.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Meet Vora from Axis Capital. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity. So just wanted to understand one thing again on nitric acid. So, basically, just wanted to understand the cost dynamics between importing dilutive nitric acid and then concentrating it, versus if we are directly procuring concentrated nitric acid from India. And at the same time, since we are having nitric acid as a key raw material for majority of our products, why don't we set up a plant for manufacturing nitric acid itself, rather than setting up a plant for concentrating it from the dilutive nitric acid?
As I mentioned, you know, we are in process of developing the comprehensive strategy for, you know, both ammonia to weak nitric acid, as well as weak nitric acid to concentrated nitric acid. The first phase, now immediately we have decided to go ahead with. There are two separate part, you know, in a nitric acid plant, there are two separate plant. One is to make weak nitric acid. So many companies make weak fertilizer, company make weak nitric acid and use it for fertilizer. And some of the companies, they make concentrated nitric acid. So there are two different parts. So at the first phase, you know, what we have decided that immediately go ahead with putting up a concentrated nitric acid from weak nitric acid, and which can be imported also. So this will be more, you know, your availability mitigation. But a longer term, a comprehensive strategy is being worked out, which we should be able to clarify maybe by Q1.
Sure, sir. And the concentration part that we'll be doing right now, our plan is to import that entire dilutive nitric acid, or we'll be procuring it locally?
No, it can be produced locally also, but that is at least one raw material which can be imported also. Whereas nitrates, concentrated nitric acid in principle cannot be imported. So, you know, that kind of really restricts. Here, you know, we can import, so that availability will not be a problem. My price may be 5-10 rupees higher, but, you know, the multiplier effect for us is much more if the material is not available.
Sure, sir. Sure. Understood. So that's a good step. Thank you.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Aditya Khetan from SMIFS Limited. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you, sir, for the follow-up. Sir, I have the question on to the volumes front. I've missed your initial comment. If you can share the volume for nitrotoluene into the business, TDI business.
Yeah, Khetan, you can give the volume, sir.
Yeah. So for the nitrotoluene, we had the volumes of around 5,155 tons for the quarter. Then you want it for which product?
TDA and NTB.
TDA, we were at roughly around 527 tons a month, and NCB, we were at 19,550.
19,550. Roughly we had done from FY 2019 to 2022, some sort of 27% is the CAGR growth into our CapEx. Considerably, sir, onto the EBITDA side, we are witnessing only 11% growth, and onto the revenue, there is only 15% growth. It seems that the CapEx, what we have done for the last 3 years, has not yet flowed into your top line and consequently into your EBITDA. There's a disconnect which seems in terms of numbers. If you can highlight a bit more, like, what is this, which are the CapEx which we had done into our past and it is yet to, like, give out the numbers? If you can dig out more onto this, sir, that would be.
Yeah, as we mentioned, you know, earlier, this year, you know, again, because that order cancellation, that contract will be still at around 35%-40% utilization in FY 2023. That's why the FY 2023 guidance also we have given only a single digit growth, because there will be higher depreciation and other expenses. But beyond FY 2023, FY 2024, FY 2025, we will see a significant increase in EBITDA, because depreciation and manufacturing expenses will be more or less, you know, will be covered. There will not be much increase in that. So significant jump in the next 3 years in EBITDA will happen. Because by the time, you know, our capacity utilization will reach 80%-90%.
Okay. Sir, apart, suppose if I, even if I exclude that contract figures also, so that was roughly around 490 crore for the Dicamba plant, and for the second was also roughly on the, so that is into the similar range. But still, sir, a large part of the CapEx, what we had done, that seems that yet, so the numbers would still come onto the top line. Is there any sort of additional CapEx we had done, like in, onto the specialty chemicals or pharma, which is yet to flow into our numbers?
Yeah, this first contract is was a five-step process. So we have this CapEx done through the entire chain. And so that entire chain will get ramped up. That is the one dichlorobenzene chain, which is at a slower ramp rate right now. And this we'll see the next 2 to 3 years, we should 90% of capacity utilization in that chain.
You're talking also, so roughly what would be the CapEx in the, what we had taken historically into our numbers? Rough CapEx figure would do, sir, for you.
Yeah, you know, overall, this entire CapEx, some of them is still in our WIP. But this chain CapEx will be of the almost 800,000 crore. CapEx will be in this chain.
8,000 crore CapEx, sir?
800-1,000 crore range.
800-1,000 crore. Okay. So that would flow into our numbers for the next 2 years.
Yes.
But sir, your guidance for the next year in terms of EBITDA, that you are saying that is into high single digits only, considering-
Yeah, yeah, that's what I was trying to mention, that next year is still a ramp up. Because the previous year, 138 crore was a shortfall fee, which is going off. So we are showing, including shortfall fee number, we are seeing a single digit growth in EBITDA. And the major jump will come in FY 2024 and FY 2025, subsequently.
Okay, sir. Got it, sir. That's it from me.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Abhijit Akella from Kotak Securities. Please go ahead.
Thank you, sir. Sir, just wanted to clarify on the previous point you mentioned. This, for the Dicamba project, overall, it's 800-1,000 crore CapEx, is it? Because earlier, I think you had guided to a revenue of about 400 odd crores from the project. So I just wanted to sort of reconcile those two numbers.
No, this is the entire chain. Dicamba, the last step is 400 crore. But then you have a chain of, you know, there are three more chemistry before that. So, this entire plant, entire chain is moving in a ramp-up phase. That's how we have seen.
And then on the revenue from the, you know, previous chemistries, I mean, what will the revenue from the entire chain be?
that number we'll have to take out.
But it will be in the same ballpark of, say, 1:1 capex or so, is it, asset terms?
We'll have to see the number.
Okay, fine. Maybe I can connect offline. So thank you so much.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question, and we will now close the question queue. I would like to hand the conference back to Mr. Rajendra Gogri for closing comments. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you, everyone, for taking out the time to join us on our earning conference call. Let me close by saying that we are moving in the right direction and have the ingredients in place to demonstrate superior performance trajectory in the forthcoming years. Not only will this amplify our leadership position, but also enhance value for all the stakeholders. I hope we have addressed all your requests, questions. If you have any further questions, please feel free to contact our investor relations team, CDR India, and we'll address them. Stay safe, and we look forward to connecting with all of you again in the next quarter. Thank you once again.
Thank you, members of the management. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Aarti Industries Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.